This week's conversation with Kelly Lee Teske is sponsored by CyberPointers, the only online chapter of the American Needlepoint Guild. CyberPointers recently celebrated 15 years of providing exciting stitching opportunities through meeting programs and workshops. The chapter has an instructor-led program at every meeting, and meetings are held online every other month. Upcoming meeting programs include, in May, a stash sampler by Melita Glavin. Registration will remain open through the meeting. The July meeting program will be Stars and Stripes by Jenny Walter. It's a small band sampler stitched in red, white, and blue over-dyed threads. Registration dates are June 15 to July 8. Several exciting workshops are planned for the 2024-2025 calendar. Registration opens April 15 for Dawn Donnelly's Mr. Sparkles, and the class runs from September 16 to October 7. CyberPointers is an excellent option if you're an A&G member without a local chapter, or attending monthly local meetings is a challenge. Visit cyberpointers.org to learn more. Thanks to CyberPointers for sponsoring the show, and now we learn about how to make it easier to see your stitching with Kelly Teske. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for the needlework artists. Our artist this week, Black Thread Studio, Kelly Lee Teske, returning. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Doing okay. All right, so this is a bit, I wanted to do this, but just didn't have the right thing in mind. So we got, I think we got it here. So in September 2023, Kelly and Rinda Just did a show on vision. We focused a lot on macular degeneration and then also other vision issues. But what we could not cover, because time, do it properly, is getting eyeglasses and what to get and so on and so forth. And then, Kelly, you had mentioned to me that when I get new glasses that I need to get lined bi or trifocals, and I have a question about that for my stitching, because it'll be better for me. So that's been sitting in my head for since that show. And folks, go back and listen to that September 2, 2023 show. But that's been sitting in my head. And so now today we're going to be able to have that follow-up conversation with Kelly and learn more about glasses and what you can expect from your eye doctor in terms of getting glasses for your stitching and so on and so forth. So thanks for doing this, Kelly. Yay.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, thanks for having me back. I can honestly say, Gary, I think it was after that show. It might've been a show you were doing with Cindy, and you kind of mentioned the glasses and that you wanted to try the, you know, the trifocal, but you actually said bifocal. And I was like, I was like jumping up and down. So I texted you right away and messaged you and said, before you go to your eye doctor, you need to talk to me. So I'm glad we're talking before you go to your eye doctor.
Well, and see, that question has been hanging in my head since then. So, okay. But now I do have to put a disclaimer in. All right. Our goal here is to give listeners enough knowledge to ask intelligent questions. Do not go to the lawyers to say, we told you this and it didn't happen. Yeah, we're not doing that thing. We're not being the doctor that told you what to do, and you know, buyer beware, basically. So don't be hanging us out to dry on this. It's just, here's advice from somebody who does this for a living, and use the information to ask intelligent questions. That's all we're offering. So don't be one of those people.
Right. Well, and I will say, I mean, not only am I a stitcher, I've been an optician for almost 40 years. So it makes me sound really old, but I'm actually like young and chipper. but I mean, after all this experience, and then even after, now that I'm at that age, you know, in my 60s, and I do need that help with my intermediate and my reading, I have so much more of a clear idea of, I'm experiencing what I've been telling people for years. Yeah. So I've actually done trial and error for myself, and luckily I have the opportunity where I can talk to the doctor and go, hey, you came up with this prescription, but I need it stronger for my stitching. So we've kind of played around with it a little bit. So yeah, not everything is going to work for everybody. I'm just telling you guys what works for me and what I have, what works for the people that I have helped. Because yeah. I do ask the patients I help, when you come in to get your glasses or come in for adjustments, please let me know if what we figured out is actually working for you, because that way I can learn too.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. But yeah. Just want to be clear. Fiber Talk does not have time or money for lawsuits. So don't be,
no.
Don't be doing that.
No.
All right.
No. Yeah.
All right. Let's start out. We're going to the eye doctor. Now, I was just to the doctor with Marga yesterday. I was there for moral support. And every time I go to the doctor, when the doctor enters the exam room, I feel like they have 1 foot out the door because they got to get onto the next one. Mm-hmm. And so I always feel like I better get my questions in. They better be fast. And, you know, I can't take up any more time than is necessary. But then afterwards, I always feel like, I had questions. I wanted to talk to the doctor, and now the opportunity's gone, and now I wouldn't be able to get back in for 8 months the way doctors are around here. So let's start with that. When you show up at the eye doctor and you go through all the exams, you know, the puff of air and blah, 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 better one, better two, all those things. But then you're in the room with the doctor. This is not the right word, but what are you entitled to? What is the doctor's expectation? I mean, do they want to be in and out, or are they willing to have a discussion about your eye issues?
Yeah, I think it depends on your doctor, of course, but I will tell you.
I knew that. No. See, every time.
No, but Gary, hey, and I'm going to tell you something. After you reached out to me Sunday on the live chat, and then we talked Monday, or, you know, message Monday, the first patient that I had Monday morning, we call them walk-ins, so she wasn't, you know, actually our patient, but she brought her, I was talking to her, and she does hand applique, and she actually brought it with her. I was like, that is so strange, because we're going to be talking about this. So, and it was so helpful for me to see what she was stitching, and it was tiny. So I will say, let's just start out by going, when you're going to your eye doctor, just be prepared to be your own advocate, just like you're going to your regular doctor. I mean, you think, oh, it's just an eye exam, it's just this, but you know, if you, I will include contacts in there. So let's say you're a contact lens wearer, but you have backup glasses, or you have reading glasses, or Beth, I'll bring you up, but don't think I'm picking on you. So Beth, if you have your readers that you wear over your glasses, bring those in with you to your doctor. Bring your linen. When I go talk to my doctor, who I work with, I do 36 count linen, but you know, they're all a little bit different, tight weave or whatever. So I'll bring actually the smallest one I have in my hoop with my needle and my thread, and I will sit there with that. So I don't want anyone to be afraid if they do that they're going to be taking up too much time. Gary, if you need to stop, I'll kind of get on a bandwagon for this. So if you need to stop me.
But I know how to stop you. Don't worry about it. Just go.
because by the time the patient comes in, so bring any of your old glasses. So I'm even saying, if you have old glasses that don't work for you anymore, but you wear them on the computer because they're perfect for that, bring those and let them know. Communicate with. Let's start with the technician that takes you back. Most of them do have a technician that will pre-test you and, you know, ask you all the questions. And in our office anyway, they'll do the air puff and all that before you see the doctor. Let them know. So if they're asking your history, you know, what are you in for today? Tell them, hey, I brought my stitching. This is really important to me. I want stitching glasses. I want to talk to the doctor about what power I'm going to need for my stitching. And I brought it, and I want them to take time to look at that. Because between the time where they put you into the room and they go get the doctor, they go through all that. It's kind of like, you know, a little synopsis of what you told them and what they talked about. So the doctor's already prepared when they go into the room that you're going to want to talk about this, and they're already knowing that they're going to need to take the time to do that. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Rather than just coming in and going, okay, this is going to be an easy in and out, they are prepared and go, oh, okay, this is going to take me a minute. Because then that can relay on to the other patients. Like, you know, if the next patient's waiting, then they can kind of calculate, well, do this with my next patient because this is going to take me a little bit more time. So that then they are a little bit more relaxed and open to going through that with you too. Because then they're going to already know before they even come in the room what you expect.
Okay, so the technician is key then. That's where you lay the groundwork.
Yep, absolutely. Let them know what's going on and let them know. And I mean, not only, I won't get off on a total tangent, but that goes for anything that you have going on. You know, whether it be, you know, an actual like problem, you know, like floaters or watering or whatever, but also with your glasses or contacts, or if you wear contacts and you say, hey, I don't want to give up my contacts, but I stitch and, you know, I need something that I can wear while I'm stitching, you know, over my contacts. So be very clear and precise about what your needs are so they can help you through that. Because there's a million trillion different options, actually. Hmm. And talking to the patient is, you know, getting what your needs are, then we can accommodate you.
I was just thinking, I know we have a technician that walks us through, and generally my husband and I go together, so I know who's going to be having to wait while I ask all my million questions.
Right.
So it's, but I never thought about bringing my readers with me. Because I do stitching. I think I even brought some stitching, and he was like, no, I don't do that. And he left. But then I've talked to him since. I talked to one of the technicians or somebody, and they said, yeah, you know, we could help you. And I forgot the last time I went and got my eyes checked, I didn't bring any stitching with me, and I should have, and said, okay, yeah, I really need a separate set of glasses for stitching.
Right. So Beth, so for just in your case, so, and if you do bring your stitching, I'm thinking and picturing too, it also is going to really make a difference if you show them where you're holding your stitching, like what distance, you know, it's a mathematical calculation for them. So if you show them 11 inches away, but you actually hold it 13 inches away, you know, if you're nervous when you're sitting in there, you're like, I don't know where I hold it, you know, maybe here, you know, if you're a couple inches off, that might make a difference for the power that they give you. So don't be afraid to take the time to do that too. But Beth, going back to like your reading glasses that you wear over your glasses, which looks very cute and fashionable, by the way.
thank you.
So I'm just throwing out some numbers. Let's just say your glasses, your regular glasses have a +2 added them, but your readers are a +3. I mean, in total, you're stitching with a +5. So they need to know that. So if you go in and go, okay, this is what works for me, I put these over my glasses, then they can get a reading off of that and go, okay, she's using like a +5. Then if you did want to go to just one pair that you can use just for stitching, then they'll be able to use that as a guide too. I mean, that would be very helpful instead of you going in and going, well, I use readers over my glasses, but I have no idea, you know, what power they are, you know, because people do that. They don't know.
So that's straight linear math then, three plus two. So if I'm using whatever my bifocals, my close-up end of my bifocals is, plus a 2.5 diopter magnifier, then it's...
Well, Gary, I mean, that sounds really easy. I was trying to make it really simple. but you know, I do not do well with math. So think of that. And I've been successful in this field for 40 years. So some of it is just common sense. But part of that does. So let's just stay with Beth. I don't know what Beth's prescription is, but let's just say she's a plus or a minus on the top, whatever her so if she's a -2, and she's has a +2 on the bottom, that's actually just evening out for her when she looks down, you know, taking away that minus prescription so that she can see up close because her eyes can't accommodate what her prescription is. anymore to see up close. Does that make sense? So if she's evening that out and her glasses are actually like at a zero, when she puts over her readers over the plus three, she's really just at a plus three.
Oh, okay.
But that will help the doctor calculate. I mean, but if she was a plus two and a plus two, she's a plus, you know, four, putting a three over, she's a plus seven. So it just depends really on what your distance prescription is too, is going to play a big key in that. That's why I like the trifocal.
Hmm.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to why I think that's.
I know my sister-in-law, she reads music. She plays at church and she could no longer see the music and, you know, kind of sit up. She's getting closer and closer. So she took her music. No, she measured. She measured where she sat at the piano. She had her husband, you know, from her eyes to where the sheet music was. And she got a pair of readers just for that.
Uh-huh. And they worked for her?
They worked beautifully. She said one time, in fact, she forgot them at her seat and then went up to play. And she's like, oh, I can't see the music.
And, you know, that's a perfect example too, Beth. I mean, we're talking about stitching, but it would apply to, I mean, and for me, so I was going to say, so we get golfers in, we get people like your sister that does music or people that are hunters. And we all kind of have a little specialty. Like I don't golf, I don't hunt, but boy, those doctors will give me every stitcher, you know, because, because I get it. You know, if I get a hunter or a golfer, I'm sending them off to talk to Richard because I don't have a clue. I mean, I can help you figure it out, but it's different when you actually do it and experience it and you know exactly what they're talking about. So, and music is good because there, if you're stitching, like cross stitching using a chart, that would be kind of the same thing as looking at music, you know, that intermediate distance.
Yeah.
Okay, so Beth, this is a good chance for me to ask a question I've had for Beth for a long time. When you put those readers on over your glasses, iconic look, by the way.
Yeah.
but when you do that, what happens to your field of view? Does it get pretty narrow, or is it normal?
It's normal. I mean, in fact, I can look, I put them on right now and I look up and I can see above those readers. I don't get readers, I get the half. So they're the narrow.
Yeah.
So they kind of go at the bottom.
Yeah.
And so I have bifocals already. So.
You mean you have a progressive in your unaligned bifocal?
Right.
In your glasses that you put over. So when you have those over, when she has those readers over, Gary, and that's a really good point. And, you know, I do that too. Sometimes if I forget my, you know, I have glasses at home or at work, I have some little readers in our lunchroom that I put over my glasses, my progressive when I stitch. You know, and it works. That's not my preferred, just because my trifocal gives me a little bit more area, you know, to see. But it also depends, like Beth must do really good with her progressive. Some people don't because they have that narrower line of vision where, you know, your periphery vision might be a little bit blurred or, you know, not as clear, because with that lens, you really have to point your nose at what you're looking at, you know, to see the clearest, your clearest sight. So when Beth puts that reader over, she's going to have the same amount of range that she would have just looking through her progressive, actually.
Okay.
And if she doesn't have any trouble with that, then she does really well with it. And that's just a personal thing. Honestly, Gary, a lot of it is just in your head and headstrong. Like, you don't know how many people are like, I'm not wearing a trifocal. I'm not going to wear those lines. I'm not going to do well with a progressive. I can't see. Well, we're all aging and aren't we lucky that we can find prescriptions that can help us get by with all these different areas in our life? What would it be like if we couldn't correct that? I mean, just got to know we're not going to have our natural vision that we had in our 20s or 30s or 40s. Well, I mean, you're going to have to accommodate and work with it. You know, that's all there is to it.
And here's another question I have for you, and I just thought of it. We hike, and I end up taking off my glasses because I can know if I'm looking down,
Yeah.
I'm looking through that. And then I can't find where that step is. And I found myself slipping. So I take them off.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see, especially going down. Down is the worst for me. Up, and because I'm looking down to make sure my feet are on something that's not going to slip. And I'm just not, it's like, okay, where's the ground? Where's the ground?
Exactly. Well, I mean, I know what to tell people, but when we have really, really deep, long steps that go into our basement work, and I was carrying down boxes and I was trying to look down, you know, to see through, you know, the next step. And I fell all the way down those steps with the boxes because you can't look through your bifocal, whether it's a progressive or a bifocal. That ad power is going to make everything distorted and make everything jump up at you. So we tell people, so like if you're hiking, Beth, and you want to try it, I mean, there's no way around it. It's not going to be, you know, I would do safety first, you know, right. And I mean, is your distance okay without your glasses or?
I mean, I can't drive without my glasses, but yeah. I can definitely walk without my glasses because I do it all the time.
Then do it without your glasses. But if somebody's blind and they need that, then just focus. You need to focus ahead of where you're stepping or walking and kind of gauge that instead of trying to look down through it. So, yeah, safety first.
Right. That's all I need is to fall. And,
right.
Yeah, you've had enough of that. Don't be doing that again.
No falling. No falling.
All right, so go back. So. Let's go back now. I take my stitching in. Now, I don't stitch in hand at all. I don't hold a hoop in hand or anything. Everything is always on a frame of some kind.
God, Gary, you're going to bring in that big scroll frame and they're going to.
Well, but that's the question. I need to make a measurement then.
Well, I mean, don't bring your scroll frame in.
No,
I mean, if you want to, you'll be the talk of the office for the next year. But still bring in your linen. And I mean, I would actually bring a needle and thread so you can gauge and see, you know, kind of really mock up what you're looking at and at least hold it at the distance, you know, that your scroll frame would be at.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's really the only way you stitch is a scroll frame.
No, I mean, everything is always on a stand of some kind. I don't.
I see. Okay. I mean, so you'll put it in a hoop and then put it in a stand.
Right.
Okay. Well, I would still bring a hoop because, you know, the hoop will, you know, stretch out the fiber and your holes will look different.
Yeah.
I mean, so it wouldn't hurt to bring in a hoop and actually, you know, unless you stitch in hand and you don't use a hoop at all. But I would make it as close to what you're actually looking at and stitching on that you can.
All right.
So, and then going back to that. So if the tech knows what you're expecting and that you want to do this, and the doctor knows exactly what they're prepared for and know, I mean, that's just great information for them going in, no matter what's going on with you. You know, if you want glasses for music or, hey, I hike and I have to take my glasses off or I stitch. So once you get in there and you're going through all that, you know, the prescription isn't magic. It is, we tell people all the time, it is subjective. It is what you're telling the doctor that you can see. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid. And I've experienced this with our own doctors when they're in there and they go, which is better, one or two? And you say two. And then they go, which is better, one or two? You know, and they're trying to figure out different things. I'm like, okay, well, you better go back. Because two was better, but it still wasn't good. You know what I mean? I mean, when they're narrowing down, that's okay. But when they get to the end of it and they're like, you know, and you'll know because they've gone through it like, you know, a million different times, which is better. When you're getting down to the end of it and they go, okay, what's better, one or two? And then I say two and I'm like, but that still isn't good. I don't like that. You know, but if you just say two, they're going to think, okay, that's what she likes, and that's what they're going to use for the prescription. So as well with your reading or when they're trying to figure out, you know, if they put that, I don't want to get too, but you know how they put the card down in front of your eyes and they're coming in and out to check for your near vision? I mean, that's okay, but that's not going to give them that true ad power that you need for your stitching. what they really should figure out, and this is what our doctors would do, is they can figure out that power, but then they have those little trial glasses that they put the trial lens in, mm-hmm. that they can put over your glasses and go, okay, how does that look? Do you know what I mean?
I've never had trial glasses.
No.
You've never had trial glasses?
No.
So no. I'll just give it. So the
Beth,
lenses.
We need to find a real doctor.
You do. Hey, I will say I'm good at what I do. So listen, so like if somebody comes in, let's say, Gary, I'm not leaving you out, but you know, Beth's my buddy, so we'll stay on Beth. Yeah. Okay, so if Beth comes in and she's wearing her progressive, so there's those little trial lenses that they actually put in the phoropter. You know, they'll put different, they can put in different lenses, you know, to figure out what you're looking at. Or they'll, you know, they also spin the wheel, but they have trial lenses that they can put into a little mock-up frame. And some of our doctors will put it on the patient and bring them out and say, okay, look out the window and look across the street. You know, mm-hmm. how does that look? And they're wearing those funny little, you know, trial frames. Well, those trial frames or lenses don't have to be in that frame. So a lot of times to help narrow down so that the patient doesn't have to go back in to see the doctor, you know, if they've got glasses and Beth came in, okay, Beth comes in and she says, hey, I'm trying to wear the progressive when I stitch. You know, this is what I told them. This is what they figured out and it's still not strong enough. And she just wants that one pair. Okay. I can go in and take and get those little trial lenses and I can get in quarter increments and have her hold that up over the bottom of her lens and go, you know what? Putting this quarter over my ad that's already in there, that really looks good. Mm. Or I could give her the plus 50 and she could go, oh, that looks better. And then mm-hmm. I could give her the plus one and she could go, oh, you know what? That's too much. I mean, it's that easy and that simple. So I don't know why more like opticians don't do stuff like that to help their patients. Because once you go through the doctor, you know, it might not always come out. And again, some of it's what you tell them when you're in there, you know, so again, be your own advocate. If you're feeling like it's still not clear that, hey, is that really the best that you can get? And there might be reasons that that's the best that they can get. You know, you have cataracts or you have, you know, macular degeneration or whatever, but at least have that conversation with them so that when you do pick up your glasses, you know what to expect.
Yeah.
And the optician knows what to expect to help you guide you through that. So if Beth came in and she was like, hey, these still aren't working, but I couldn't hold up that plus 50 over. And she's like, oh man, that is so great. She wouldn't even have to go back and see the doctor. I could just go to the doctor and say, hey, Beth was in, she doesn't like this, but she really liked this. You know, in our office anyway, our doctor would go, great, I'll change it if that's what she wants. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she's the one that has to wear them. She has to be comfortable with them. I mean, it's not going to, you know, if you're talking about like your glasses not being made right, or if you have prism or you're something, I mean, that can, you know, cause issues, give you headaches or whatever. But when you're just putting an extra power over the bottom, you know, for stitching, you know, hey, do, you know, make sure it's what you want and it's comfortable for you.
Right.
All right. Let's continue the Beth thing. All right. So,
okay.
So, ideally then that tells me that Beth could have regular everyday glasses. She could have and the cost of glasses aside, regular everyday glasses, no line bifocal, continuous, or whatever they're called. She could have a pair of stitching glasses that are ideal for that, but then a pair that she would wear for hiking, for instance. I mean,
well, yeah.
Do we do that kind of thing then?
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be costly.
Right.
I mean, you're gonna be putting money into it. But, you know, you think, okay, if I, you know, spend $100 on my Lowry stand or whatever I have, you know, versus, you know, a couple $100 for my trifocal, is that worth it to me? Yeah, you betcha. I stitch every day, you know, and I'll probably have them at least for a year or two, you know, until my prescription changes or whatever. So, So, okay. So I thought you were going to go someplace else with that question, Gary. So I was prepared to say something else.
Go that place. But, that's fine. So, go that place.
Because I thought you were going to say if Beth wanted just a progressive that she wanted to wear for stitching, you know, one pair, then they're going to bump up that ad power for her. And then it's going to be too strong for her other everyday, like reading her computer, because it all correlates together from the transition of her distance vision all mm-hmm. the way down. So I would say you can do a no line bifocal or a progressive for just stitching, but it's going to be a totally different prescription, not totally different, but it's going to be stronger than what you would normally wear. And then it's probably going to be too strong for your everyday, you know, up. I mean, talk about looking down at the floor. You wear your stitching glasses when you're up walking around and look down through that. You'll be in big trouble hiking with those on.
I wouldn't be able to go down the stairs with those on. So no, absolutely
yeah.
not.
Warning, absolutely not. Do not wear these while you're hiking. So, I mean, am I making a clear picture? Is it mm-hmm. confusing?
Well, it's quite clear, because what I'm taking out of this is that for those of us who do any kind of close-up work, we basically need two pairs of glasses every day
yes.
and close up. I mean, it's almost, yes. if you want the most comfortable vision.
Yes. If you want to be happy and enjoy your stitching and not be frustrated. Yes. So, but Gary, we're not done. We're just we've only gone through the lenses and the doctor. You haven't even got out to see me yet, because that's where all the fun starts. That is where all the fun starts, Gary.
Okay.
Okay, so let's take, I'm going to compare you and Beth, because everyone has a visual of you guys. So, because some people, I mean, it's common sense, but when I say a metal frame or a plastic frame, if you can visually, you know, see what I'm talking about. So, Gary, you wear a metal frame with the nose pads, and it's rimless. It's open on the bottom.
Right.
So, I'm guessing, cosmetically, they look good on you, but do you like it because it's open on the bottom and you don't have any obstruction with the frame? I mean, is that why you've gone to that kind of frame, or is it just what you like?
I guess it's what I like. I've had a pair. My prescription doesn't change that much exam to exam, really little at all. And I've had full frame. I never give it a thought, I guess. So it's not, it's not a factor.
Okay, so you wear a rimless frame with nose pads. It's regular size. It's not too deep. Beth, you wear a really deep plastic frame on your everyday. So, mm-hmm. If you go to a plastic frame like Beth has, and that might be more comfortable for her, or she doesn't like nose pads, or she's allergic to them, whatever. When you, I'm not saying it doesn't work. Now, Beth, we're not talking about your regular pair. We're pretending like we're going to put a sewing glass into a frame like yours, okay? And it's that deep. You want a good fit on your nose, but either one, nose pads or not, make sure that that frame is sitting comfortably and that you're sitting the way that you hold your head when they measure, because that is going to make a huge difference. So the thing with a plastic frame like you wear, Beth, you can make it tighter behind your ears. You cannot change the way it fits on your nose. If it's mm-hmm. not measured right, you've got, you know, they can't move that around too much. You know, if they're slipping down or whatever, you can go tighter, but they sit where they sit. Gary, if yours are a little bit too high or a little too low, we can move it up and down with the nose pads.
Right.
So in that way, when you're wearing a progressive, or if I can't wait till we start talking about that line trifocal, if you're wearing that, then the optician has, you know, a couple millimeters, which doesn't sound like much, but it can make a huge difference as far as the comfort of where you're looking in or how you see through those.
Okay.
So I'm telling you, the frame is key.
All right, I have a question on that too then. All right, so let's just take Beth and me, and it freaks me out that you've studied us that much to know our glasses. But
Gary,
that's what she does for a living.
I'm fans. I've been watching you for a long time. I told her you're my buddies. You just don't know it.
Okay, well, I'll get it taken care of in therapy. It'll be all right.
Okay.
So if I'm buying glasses, then am I understanding you that I'm better off if I go with a bigger lens, frame and lens, like Beth has, than the smaller one that I have, in terms of having, I mean, is that better or?
Okay, are we talking just stitching glasses now?
No, in general, stitching in general. I mean, I guess the question is: should people be oriented toward bigger lenses because the vision overall will be better day to day?
Not necessarily. It depends on how the frame fits you.
Okay.
I mean, everybody is different. So now, we're going to still take you. I mean, because your frames are good and in proportion on your face, Gary. Now, when you look down through those, if you're reading or whatever, are you looking, do you catch the bottom of the lens or look underneath? Or is that a comfortable, it's called a B measurement from the top to the bottom. Is that comfortable for depth for you?
Like, I'm looking at my notes right now, and I would say that, well, I wouldn't say, I know that basically the bottom of the lens is splitting my field of view. So
the top
half I can read, the bottom half is below the glasses and is blurred.
Okay, so here's the other thing. This is why you really want a good optician, not only a good eye doctor, but you want a good optician that knows your needs. So Beth, we're going to get to your deep glasses in a minute, but Gary, we're staying with your short, we're staying with your short ones right now. Okay. So I'm just using simple numbers so you can visualize. So in your, we are talking about a progressive now.
Right.
I'm still waiting to get to the trifocal, but Gary, with your progressive, so it's measured right at your pupil. And, you know, I had somebody say this to me the other day, because I've been doing this for so long. I measure by having someone sit in front of me, relax, hold their head exactly the way they would. And I'm going to say this, and some people might disagree. In the old days, they would say, look at my nose. Well, when you look at their nose, their eyes converge. So if you have somebody measuring you that way, it's not really correct, and a lot of people still do it. You want to kind of just look eye to eye and put a dot right where your pupil sits in that frame. If you use those pupilometers or the other machines, I mean, they're okay and they're fancy, but I'm telling you, just a good old black dot on your lens, if you know what you're doing, is the best way to do it. So if where your eyes sit at in that frame is an 18 or 17 millimeters is my measurement. This might be information you don't need to know, but I want you to visualize and know so that you know what I'm talking about. There's certain lenses have a range. So if I measure a 17 seg height, but the lens I'm using for you, the minimum is 18. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Okay. If I order that and I say, and the lab says, blah, 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 you don't have enough room. And I'm go, yeah, it's fine. You know, they're cutting off part of your reading. So if you have a plus two ad, you might only be ending up with a 175 ad and by cutting off part of your lens for the way that short frame sits in front of your eyes. So
because the progressive, the maximum is at the bottom of the lens.
Right. And it does graduate down. You only have a little bit. That's why too, like, progressive hit will have a laser marking on them, so you can see what the power is and where they were measured. And if they're marked at two, you know how many times in a short frame you'll read it and it's like really reading a 150 or 175. And the doctor needs to know that too, because they think you've been wearing a two ad, but you've been cut off for the last 2 years and you're only wearing a 175. You know, no wonder you couldn't see out of them or whatever. So you do want enough depth in your frame that you're not cutting off any of your power.
Okay. So that's so interesting to me, because the last time I went to the eye doctor, my glasses just didn't feel like they were sitting right. So when I went out to the lady there, the optician. It's the optician, right? That
is right, sitting, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I said, can you adjust these so that the glasses sit on my face? And she looked at me and she said, who made these glasses? And I said, well, the optician at the eye doctor back in Illinois.
Yeah.
Well, she said, they didn't do them right. Those aren't right. She says, I can get close, but those lenses aren't cut right.
Did she mark them up, Gary? Did she put marker?
No, she just looked at them and she said, they're not right. I guess she could tell. I don't know, but.
Oh, well.
She made an adjustment and they got better. So I didn't argue with her.
I mean, maybe they were sitting too high or they weren't sitting squared off or something, but I don't know how they could really tell unless she actually marked them up.
Yeah.
You know, use those laser markings to see where they measured in front of your eyes. Hmm. Okay, so can we go to Beth?
Yeah,
so sure. Yours are short. Your bifocal's been cut off. Your power's been cut off. Gary, we're going to go a little bit deeper for you in your regular glasses, in your sewing glasses that we haven't even gotten there yet. Oh, my gosh, Beth, in your deep frame that you wear, do you have trouble using your reading or getting down into the bottom?
No. I can see where I hold them. It works for me. I mean,
okay. So, that shows that it doesn't, not that it doesn't matter, but in a deep frame like that, Beth probably had a really good measurement and they measure them up where they're supposed to be. And she's got her full range of bifocal in there. And they don't sit too low that it's uncomfortable for her to, you know, move her head or get wherever she needs to in her lens. So that's subjective, too. It depends on what's comfortable for the patient, how they fit in front of your eyes, and what your power is. So it's combining all of that to make sure that you're getting the best thing that's going to work for you. And that's what a good optician should be guiding you in. I mean, if somebody likes a frame and it doesn't fit them, I have no problem telling them no. And if they go with it anyway, I tell them I'm making notes. And don't you dare tell anybody that I did your classes for you. I'm not taking responsibility for this. Yeah. So anyway, okay, do you want to go on to the lines and actually talk about stitching?
Okay. Yeah, so okay. All right. So yeah, that question, why do you recommend for stitching lined glasses? Lined
because
lined, and then why trifocal instead of bifocal? Because yeah,
okay. I'm going to talk about that real quick. I think okay. So Gary, I gave you. I'm hoping that you can put up those pictures that I sent you.
Yeah, I will.
You know, for a visual, if you want. Okay, let me just touch on this real quick too. Depending on your prescription. If you need a thinner lens, there's different materials. There's a polycarbonate, and then there's plastic. Plastic can be combined with polycarbonate, and they call it Trivex. In your stitching glasses, if you don't need them lighter and thinner because of your prescription, just ask for a regular plastic. For one thing, it's less expensive, and plastic has the best, it's called Abbey value, the way the light reflects through the lens. Polycarbonate, some people are sensitive to it, some people aren't. They will almost say that it has kind of a fishbowl effect. It doesn't have as plastic has a better Abbey value. So you're going to get better vision, crisper vision out of that. So if you can, just ask for a regular plastic lens. Don't let them talk you into something. Now, Gary, in your open frame,
okay,
you would have to
back that up a little bit. First, you brought up the Young Frankenstein Abbey Normal, but that's another thing.
okay, what?
Oh, you know, you've never seen Young Frankenstein?
What? No, why is there somebody named Abby?
Well, it's. You got to watch the show.
You got to watch the movie. Okay.
They transplant a brain and he gets an abnormal brain from the brain factory.
Oh.
Who was the brain? What was the name of Abby Normal? You know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, I said Abby Value.
I know, same thing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, same thing.
Now, see, now I've done this to myself. I've forgotten what my question was. So for stitching glasses, then I should almost insist on a plastic lens as opposed to a polycarbonate.
Okay, I'm not going to say insist. I'm just saying if you don't know the difference and you want to keep your costs down and you don't need it for your prescription, you know, to go thinner or lighter, just go with a regular plastic lens.
Okay.
It's going to keep your costs down. It's going to give you really good vision. You absolutely want an anti-reflective coating on them. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. But just to back up, Gary, if you go with an open frame like you have, they're not going to want to use plastic because it's a safety issue with that open frame. Because plastic can, you know, chip or break. A polycarbonate, it can scratch, but it's not going to break. So okay. If you were hit with something. So there are some issues as far as, you know, safety issues. Now, I mean, people will do it, but it's not recommended. Okay, so depending on
for my stitching glasses, then I'm drawing a picture up here. I need a full frame, like not like plastic all the way around, frame all the way around, full frame, mm-hmm. and plastic lenses.
Right. Okay. So make sure when you try those on, then that you're not looking down into the bottom of the frame. Make sure you have enough, you know, where it's not going to obstruct your, you know, vision looking down, and make sure it's not, you know, a dark, thick frame that's going to bug you, or,
yeah,
you know, lime green frame that is going to reflect back at you and it's going to drive you nuts.
Right.
You know, just get something simple and obscure, just something that's comfortable that you can wear stitching. You're not going to a fashion show.
Well, and see, I guess that's what I was getting to for stitching glasses. Or any kind of close-up work glasses, I don't care what they look like. I care that they function.
Yeah. You know what? Just, you know, tell them you want something inexpensive that fits really well, that's going to function for that. So then, can we jump to the bifocal and trifocal difference?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and if you show those, what do I want to say? You know, those pictures that I sent you.
Yes.
Okay, so a regular trifocal is measured right below your pupil. So let's talk about that for a minute too. If you are picking out stitching glasses and you're doing that, either and you are going to be dilated at your exam, you either want to go out and look at glasses as soon as they drop you and let them, because it takes, what, like 15 minutes? Tell them you mm-hmm. want to go out and look at frames while you're dilating, or go in early before your exam and look at frames and ask your optician to go ahead and measure if you decide on something. Because once you're dilated, it doesn't matter for aligned bifocal or progressive, but if you're getting a trifocal, it is going to matter because you want to measure right below your pupil. And if you're measuring on a dilated pupil, you know, your measurement's not going to be right. You know, plus you can't really see. So don't be afraid to tell them you want to look at glasses before you're dilated. But anyway, that trifocal line is measured right below your pupil. And I'm, for this purpose, I put on my trifocal. I've been wearing them this whole time so that I could know exactly what I was telling you guys is what I'm experiencing. So when I'm looking out, you kind of catch that line a little bit. You know, you kind of get like a, they call it an image jump. Like if I get down on that line, I might see double or something. But with it right up at my pupil, I'm not struggling to get down into that middle area or that bottom area. If it's measured lower, I'm going to be really kicking my head back and just struggling and trying to push my glasses up and holding them up to, you know, get that middle part in front of my eye. So don't be afraid to get it measured higher than what you think. Because, I mean, I can sit here and look at the TV, but that's not my most important thing. Well, unless I'm watching Fiber Talk and I need to check you guys out. But, you know, the most important thing is
it's creeping me out.
You didn't know I was a stalker, did you, Gary? let's not leave Jennifer and Cindy out.
Okay, yeah. All live shows are canceled. That's it. We're done. Yeah.
So anyway, okay, now I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? In that trifocal, again, there is a picture. You can, and I want you to ask for this. There's a 7x28. That is in millimeters. It's seven millimeters deep in that inside intermediate part, and then 28 millimeters wide. You know, it kind of looks like that half moon.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask for a 35 millimeter wide. So either a bifocal or the trifocal, you're adding that much more width in millimeters. Now, when you look down, your eyes converge. So you would think that you wouldn't need that, but as stitchers, we do use that. So the wider, the more comfortable you'll be. So then when you go to a 35 millimeter wide trifocal, that middle section is 8 millimeters deep, not 7. So you're just adding, and you can tell when you look at the pictures, I mean, you're just getting a wider range to see through. So, and like I'm sitting here, Gary, I'm looking out my window. I'm glancing over to my right. My chart is at arm's length, and I'm in that middle part, and then I'm holding my hand up with my hoop right now, and all I did was shift my eyes down. I didn't even move my head, barely.
Okay.
So, and if you're at a range, and your trifocal, that middle part, is going to be calculated automatically. They can't specify that. It's going to be calculated automatically depending on what your distance vision is and what your bifocal add is.
Oh, okay.
It's usually going to be about half maybe of what your, so if I'm in a 2 add, you know, that middle might be like a 1, somewhere around there, for your arm's length. So that can't be specified, but your add power can, and then it's just going to accommodate. It's going to work out for you. And if you need to move, you know, your materials around a little bit, you might have to. So now just to jump to the bifocal, and that's why I recommend a trifocal, is if you're using a chart or anything that you're looking at along with your up-close stitching, that's where that middle section is going to come in. Now, the lady that I helped Monday who did the hand applique, she actually wore contacts and thought she wanted just reading glasses over her contacts to stitch. But then she started talking about how her eyes get dried out and blah, blah, blah. So we went through, and she actually doesn't feel like she needed that intermediate area at all. She's like, all I need to do is look, you know, like across the room, like if she's in her stitch group. She didn't want to have to wear contacts all the time. She wants to look up and see her friends or across the room and look down and see her stitching. There's nothing that she needs to see at arm's length, you know, clear with her applique, you know, that she wasn't using a chart or anything. So in that case, we just went with a bifocal for her, and that is measured right at your lower lid. If you get it lower than that, again, you're going to be struggling or trying to hold your glasses up. If you ever see people wearing the glasses like that and they're holding them up, you know, to read or whatever, it's because it was measured too low. So again, that bifocal, I would put it right up above your lower lid if you're using them for stitching, because then you're just going to be able to drop your eyes and look down with so much ease. I think it will change your life. I do. That's how much I love my stitching glasses.
Yeah. Okay, so all right, Beth, if you got a question, scream. But all right, so take, for instance, take Beth's situation. So Beth should be able to have a pair of glasses for stitching that will cover her need to put those readers over her regular glasses.
Yes, if she wants that, yes. And Beth, okay. I would do a trifocal.
Yeah,
and if you like those big deep frames, don't be afraid to have, you know, if you're, don't be afraid to have your trifocal measured up where it's going to. It might look funny because you're going to have like this half moon thing floating in the middle of your lens. But like in a shorter frame like Gary has, that half moon on that bottom will be cut off. So it's going to depend on how deep your frame is and how it sits in front of your eyes, but don't be afraid to have it measured up where it should be.
Okay, so here's my other question. I use different readers for what I for I'm stitching. So normally I just use one that's, I don't know, it's like a one
okay
magnification. But let's see, I'm working on my 53-63 count fabric. Then I move up to a stronger reader because I cannot see it.
What but do you like, normally stitch on? What's your go-to? Is it the smaller count or the...
I normally do between 40 and 45 is what I normally stitch on, is what my okay. normal stitching is.
Beth, if I were... I'm just saying, if I were you... I mean, are you comfortable when you stitch putting your readers over and stuff? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that if that works for you. See, when I put two pair on, I mean, it starts squeezing my head and I get a headache and it's just cumbersome. So
no,
let's just,
see, no, it doesn't bother me at all.
It doesn't bother you at all. See, everybody's different. But let's go back to that. If your regular count, what did you just tell me?
40 to 45.
Okay, so if you stitch on 40 to 45, that's what, and you want to do a trifocal, like I've been talking about. Oh, Beth, you would be able to get up and walk around the house. You would end up wearing them out to your group. You'd end up wearing them to the grocery store. But if you are wearing those for that count, and that's mainly what you stitch on, when you go to your 56 count, you might still have to put like a plus one reader over that. But you can do it over that instead of over your progressive, you know, do that over your stitching glasses for the smaller count. I mean, that one power isn't going to work for everything, but it will work for your, if that's what you're calculating, if that's what you normally stitch on.
Right.
Because actually, if you stitch smaller and that's what they calculate for, and then you go to stitch on a 40, you can't take away any power out of those glasses. You know, to make it easier, you'd have to hold your stitching out a little bit more. So I'd rather add the reading onto the smaller count whenever I use that.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because it's, you know, I really don't want to have two sets of stitching glasses.
Right.
But I do know I need, for certain things, I just need a stronger magnification.
Yeah.
And I was so, like, okay, so what do I do then?
Yeah, that's what I would do. You know, just know that you're going to still need readers for that smaller count. But like Gary, I have the same light magnifier that you have. Mm-hmm. And I have found before I got my trifocal, I was wearing that with my progressive or, you know, just my other old glasses that I had at home. Since I've got my trifocal measured for my stitching, I use the light, but I haven't been using the magnifier at all.
Because that was what I was going to ask next. So, and I know it depends. I know the answer is it depends.
Uh-huh.
But is it reasonable to expect that most people with proper glasses and good lighting would not need a magnifier?
I would say yes. I mean, there's still things that I'll stick it, you know, stick it up underneath just to see, you know, make sure what I'm doing or, you know, where I'm at, kind of get a guideline like, oh, is that really that small or, you know, like... But yeah, I would say I hardly ever use my magnifier, because if you do use that magnifier with a power that's set for your comfortable stitching, it's just too much. It's too strong. You're like, whoa. So
that's game changing in terms of where you can stitch and how you can stitch if you don't have that magnifier and you just need a good light. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, Gary. That's what I'm telling you.
You can take your stitch into the basement, to the living room now and stitch next to Marga.
Live a little. Get those stitching glasses.
I'm not tied to that big black crane thing. Yeah.
So, but I'm just, I mean, all the information that I'm giving you is absolute and I believe in it 1,000%. Now, if you don't have a good optician and they don't guide you well, or your doctor, I have no responsibility for that.
Right. Okay. Let's, before we run out of time, let's go to that question. eye doctor, storefront eyeglass, Costco, online stores. What are the buyer beware things there?
Oh, Gary.
I knew it.
You must not remember what I said in the first time we talked.
I do, but you know.
We're reiterating it.
Okay, well, listen. I mean, I'll get a lot of, they can't, you're not going to give them my information, are you? Like, they can't send me hate mail or anything like that. Although, Gary, I did want to know if I could put my website out there, because you guys know I do stitch. And I do other things, not just glasses. Yep. So they can find me other places.
right.
Okay. So anyway, okay. So no hate mail, please. I would have my glasses made. I would invest and have them made at my eye doctor's at a good reputable place. I would even, you don't know how many times we have people bring their prescription into our office to have their glasses made, or take their prescription out and we'll like go to VisionWorks and have their glasses made and they're not made correctly. And then they bring them back. If at all possible, I don't know why people don't do this. Get your glasses made where you had your exam. It's going to be so much easier for everybody if something's not working for you.
Okay.
So, and if you do have, you know what, if you do have your exam done at Costco or whatever, I mean, have at it, you know, hope, cross your fingers and hope for the best on your glasses. But don't bring them into me and ask me what's wrong with them. Take them back to Costco.
Yeah.
That's where the hate mail will come in.
Well, but you can see how that happens, though. I mean, they're expensive. And so people are always looking for, you know, where can we save some money? And one of my favorite Instagram political news commentators is S.E. Cupp. And she's on CNN and she does her own thing. And I follow her quite a bit. And she's just an eyeglass fashion freak. I mean, she must have thousands of pairs of glasses. And, of course, a lot of them, it's for color, you know.
Yeah.
The outfit she's wearing. But she just did a thing where it was some online thing that she had found. And she pointed out, no, she needs her glasses. She can't see well without them. But then it's just like a hobby for her to have all these different frames.
Right.
And there's so many options that it's real easy to get sucked into that whole, you know, well, yeah, but over here, I really like these. When we have to keep in mind, at least from what I'm taking out of this, is but can you see and are they made right? You know, it doesn't matter how they look if they don't work.
Right. It's and there is a need. I mean, some people aren't, you know, want to match their outfits every day.
Right.
Yeah, and
that's what she does.
Do that.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Don't expect you're going to have your best vision, and don't expect you're going to have the best fit. If you're just, you know, hoping you can see and matching your outfit, fine. But then don't bring them into me when you got them online and ask me to adjust them and make them right, because I'm not going to be happy. I'll do it with a smile on my face, but I'm going to be talking about you when you leave. So, no, but what I was going to say, Gary, it's kind of like, you know, do you want a hamburger from a drive-through, or, you know, do you want a hamburger from, you know, a great steak place? It's going to taste different, and you're going to pay more for the hamburger at the steak place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, it's just the way it is. You are, and I'm not saying that people that work at those other, you know, the old 1 hour places aren't good opticians or don't know what they are doing, but they are trained and more geared towards sales, not being an optician and caring about your vision and what's going to work for you. There is a definite difference.
Yeah.
There is a definite difference between, you know, am I just selling you glasses, or am I being your optician? I'm asking you the right questions. I'm getting you the perfect fit, the right thing, and I'm going to work with you. And if we don't get it right the first time, we'll redo it and we'll do it until we get it right.
Okay. So, you know? Right, so that's saying to me then, that when I go to the eye doctor for an exam, that the time I spend with the technician and the eye doctor, that effectively, I should probably spend as much time with the optician making sure those glasses are right. Or more. Okay.
Or more. Because a lot of times, daily, Gary, I can guarantee it's going to happen to me today. the patient will come out after seeing the doctor, and the doctor, you know, in a good doctor-optician relationship, your doctor will do the handoff. You know, they'll say, I talked to Gary today. You know, he's going to do his regular pair. We didn't talk about insurance, but make sure you ask about your insurance and what kind of discounts there are on second pair.
Oh, we're going to talk about insurance next. I got questions there,
okay.
too. So.
Okay. So,
we're not done.
okay. I'm talking too much. I need a little sip of water. Anyway, when the doctor comes out and does that handoff and says, hey, Gary's going to do stitching glasses or whatever, or if she just comes out and says, Gary's going to, you know, update his glasses. He had a little prescription change. And then Gary said, you sit down with me and you start talking to me and you're like, you know, I kind of really want to do another pair to wear for my stitching. And then I'll say, okay, did you talk to the doctor about that? And you'll go, no, you know, oh, I forgot, or, I didn't bring it up today or whatever. You know, that's going to put me in a position where, okay, well, now I'm going to have to go talk to the doctor and she's going to have to try to figure out, you know, so just have all that information. So by the time you get to me, I know that you've talked to the doctor about that. So I know exactly, because when I go in and look at your information, she's going to have, there might be a prescription that says music glasses, stitching glasses, regular sunglasses.
Oh.
And there might be a prescription, a different prescription for everything, depending on what you talk to her about. You know, if Beth said, hey, I just want single vision sunglasses without a bifocal for my hiking, you know, they'll have that in there. And some of it might correlate and be the same prescription, like in the distance. But then, you know, when I go to look at, you know, stitching glasses or, you know, shooting glasses or whatever, that doctor's going to have exactly what they want in there for me.
Okay.
You know, it's not going to be a guessing game. But if you come out and you've already gone through, then it kind of is a guessing game where I'm going to be going to get those trial lenses and say, okay, well, let's try this and see if you like it. Or say, well, let me see if the doctor has time to take you back in, you know, so you can talk about that.
My question is now, I already had my eyes checked. So now I've got to wait another year before I go in and see him, or my insurance will scream.
How long ago was your exam?
Oh, I don't, it was less than 3 months, 3 or 4 months.
Now, I'm just telling you by our office, but I think it's pretty standard. If you called within 3 months and said, Kelly, I forgot to talk to the doctor about my stitching glasses, I can say, okay, Beth, let me talk to the doctor and we'll go back and look at your notes together, me and the doctor, and she can see everything that she had in there. And I'll say, from what you have or what you did, can you figure out stitching glasses for her? And then I would say, Beth told me that she holds her stitching at, you know, 11 inches away. And the doctor might be able to calculate that. If it's been within a certain amount of time, they can do an RX check and bring you back in at no charge. And just do a real quick refraction and say, can you just redo this and tell me, give me a prescription for my stitching glasses? Now, if it's been a lot longer, doctors will do that, but they might say, because you're right, your insurance isn't going to cover it, but our range is, oh, let's say somebody waited 9 months to do that, we might charge them $80 for the refraction. If they've called us back in like 4 months, we might go, okay, you know, it's going to be $40 for you to come back in. You know, the doctor will cut that cost. So you can always go back in before your yearly. It just depends on how long you've waited and if they're going to charge you or not. More if you even need to go back in. You know, the doctor might be able to figure it out. I mean, if you've waited 6 or 7 months and you want them to try to figure out, they might be able to do it if you've been their patient, going back and looking to see if you've had any changes. They'll look at your age, you know, other things like that. So they might be able to come up with something. Or if you were working with me, Beth, I would say, you know what, Beth, you waited 5 months. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Come in, right. Bring your stitching, and I'll have you sit with me, and then I'll probably hold those trial lenses up for you and say, does this work? And you'll go, yeah, that's great. And I'll go, okay, let me talk to the doctor and see if she's comfortable doing that, you know, giving us a prescription for that without seeing you. Okay. I mean, so there's always options. Just call. And you know what? If you call, have that conversation with your optician. Like we have a lot of our patients will come back and there's three of us that will work with, you know, ask for us individually if they've worked with us for a long time because we get to know them. So if you have an optician, you know, get a relationship with them and then just call them, you know, and say, hey, can you help me with this? And then they'll help you figure it out and what route to take.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about then insurance and getting two pair of glasses at the same time. You know, cost is a factor. I mean, I have vision insurance through the company I work for, and then I have Medicare. How does can we save some money using insurance, or is that just a kind of a gimmick throw in that they have?
Gary, it depends.
I hate that.
I did that for you, Gary. Okay, listen, I will tell you this. A lot, especially people who are on Medicare, they do not realize or understand that there is a separate vision plan that's for materials. So that would be glasses or contacts. So if somebody's asking you if you have vision insurance and you don't know, so most of your exams and, you know, if you're doing photos and all that stuff that's more medical, they will submit that to your major medical. A lot of those will have an attachment. Can I say insurance names or not, Gary?
Didn't bother me any.
Okay, so
Sue us. Don't sue us.
Don't sue us.
No,
yeah.
But I'm in Wisconsin, so I don't know if it differs from state to state. So usually people go, I think I have insurance, but I don't know. And there are, I think it's pretty nationwide. If you've heard of VSP, iMed, or Spectera, those are like the big three main. And some people go, yeah, I think I've heard of that VP thing or whatever. You know, I mean, it's as easy if you don't even know for sure. It's as easy as your optician or your front desk receptionist, whoever wants to take the time to do it, going in with your name and your birth date. VSP is the only one that asks for the last four of your social, but I don't even need a card from you. I can go into any of those websites and put in your name and birth date, and it will either say not found or it will bring you up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Gary, didn't you know you had Spectera with your Medicare? And you go, no, are you kidding me? I have Spectera. And I go, yeah, look, they'll give you $150 towards the frame, this much towards lenses, whatever. Now there's, if you have iMed, I think this is the only one, VSP. Well, most of them do a discount on the second pair. iMed does actually 40% on the second pair if you do it the same day, which is, I think that's a wow. I think that's, I'm remiss in letting people know that sometimes because a lot of people do want to do sunglasses or, you know, an occupational pair. But also, now I'm not talking about going to Lens Crafters and getting two for one or whatever, you know, because you know how I feel about that. But a lot of, like our office, if you do a second pair or if you don't have insurance, we always do 35% off the frame and 20% off on the lenses. And I can tell you when we came up with that, Medicare will say that they give you, you know, oh, you get a free pair of glasses after cataract surgery. No, you don't. I'll tell you right now that our office discount comes out better than what Medicare says that they give you towards glasses after cataract surgery. So I guess what I'm saying is it's a pretty good discount. You know, it really helps. So don't be afraid to ask for insurance or if they have a discount or, you know, now some people will go too far. Like if I say no, then they'll
really?
Go.
Well, somebody would go too far. I can't believe
it. Like they'll do you have a senior citizen discount? No, this is our discount. Well, do you have, I can only write with my right hand discount. No. So anyway, but yeah, insurance is key and helpful. So make sure you ask. And a lot of frames, you know, might be covered in full. You know, if you're doing stitching glasses and you're not looking for, you know, the most fashionable. Or, again, it depends on your office. But we even have, like, a special package price. Gary, if you wanted to come in and say, hey, I just want a line trifocal, you know, with a basic non-glare on it, you know, basic frame. We'll have certain frames to pick out, but we'll go, yeah, we can do the whole thing for $169. Okay. You know, you might not have the same warranty that you would have on a regular pair, you know. Mm-hmm. That might be a discontinued frame, so if it breaks, we might not be able to replace it for you. But there, most offices do have options like that. You know, well, hey, what do you got? What do you got stuck in the back that's discontinued, yeah, that you can do a special price on? You know, that's what most people do for. Or, hey, Gary and Beth, if you have a frame that you like, bring in your old frame. And they'll give you a warning and say, oh, you know, we can't use your frame. Or if we do, you know, we won't be responsible if it breaks. Go. I mean, if it's worth it to you, say, sure, try it. I mean, if there's no cracks or it's a frame that, you know, you've hardly worn or something that you have at home, bring it in and use it. They'll do lenses only.
Yeah, I did that once.
Yeah.
It was a frame I liked and it was in good shape. And I said, match the lenses, and they did. And it worked great for many more years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't have any
problem. So that's another option.
But see, that, and that was the thing when you talk about what do you have in the back room. That's what's in my head is for stitching glasses. I don't care what they look like.
Yeah.
Just give me something that holds the lenses in the right spot and lenses that work, because it's not a fashion statement. I want them to work. I want them to function.
Well, I don't want you looking ridiculous in case somebody comes to the door. I don't want them squeezing your head or anything, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, find something that they have in the back. So,
but that's just it. It doesn't have to be Ralph Lauren, blah, blah, blah. Just something
and, you
that
know,
I can see through.
I guess my biggest thing is from walking in the door to saying hi to the receptionist, besides just being friendly and kind and having a good time, don't be crabby, you won't get anywhere with anybody. Just from the tech to the doctors to the optician, just have a good time and just relax and tell them exactly what you want. You know, don't worry about how much time you're taking with them, you know? And I will tell you this little secret. Okay, Gary, every year you come in, you like to chit-chat, and you like to do your stitching glasses, and you take a little bit more time than the average person. We will block a couple spaces for you and put a note that says, patient needs a little bit more time. So the doctor will be prepared for that, so they won't feel rushed, you know? Or even when you make your appointment, say, hey, I want to make sure I'm in a slot where, you know, the doctor's not hurrying to get out. You know, doctor might be hurrying out to because they are taking their kid someplace on lunch, you know, or trying to get out to take their kid to a basketball game. I mean, they're regular people. They have stuff too. Stuff. But if they know, say, hey, can you put me in a spot where the doctor might have a little bit more time, because, you know, I didn't think about that till now, but that would be really helpful is when you make your appointment, let them know up ahead, because they'll put a note in there. Hey, patient is coming in and wants to talk about stitching glasses, you know, may take a little bit more time. Okay.
All right.
Did I talk enough? Is there anything else you guys need to know?
I'm good, actually. Beth, you got anything?
I think you covered it. That was great, though. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I love talking to you guys. Glasses is what I do, and I'm good at it. But sometime we'll talk stitching, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what I really love.
All right. Well, Kelly, thanks so much. Thanks to everyone for listening. And remember, we don't want to hear from your lawyer. Use the information to ask good questions and get the best glasses you can for yourself. Thanks, Kelly, and thanks to everyone for listening.
Thanks, Gary and Beth. So nice to talk to you. Thank you so much.